Track 6, 10 Minutes With. In this week's episode of 10 Minutes With, we were speaking to Ranjit Bapara, who is a BAME representative at the Beacon Centre. BAME stands for Black, Asian and Minority Ethnic. Ranjit's role involves helping promote Beacon and sight loss issues within these communities. Ranjit will talk about his role today, his life before he was registered blind, and how he developed his condition. Question 1. Ranjit, please tell us about your life before you got involved with the Beacon Centre and how you came about.
I'm Asian, British Asian, 53 years old. Before, I was basically registered blind in 1997. I was a family man, three kids, married, had my own home. Used to work, used to enjoy playing football. It was one of my sports I really used to enjoy. Like I said, I was in full-time employment and used to live a normal life, like more or less everybody else was. Did my own things. In general, like I said, you know.
Brilliant. Question 2. When did you first notice the change in your sight and what did it result in?
I would say close to my 40s. I started to struggle at night times with my condition. Small things around the house, just sort of tripping over little things here and there. And did sort of notice a deterioration in my sight due to my condition, which is retinitis pigmentosa, or RP. Is as in short, and still try to improvise as I went along, adapting to my conditions. So it wasn't getting the best of me. There were certain things I started to stop doing, like football or playing pools, which I used to enjoy.
So you're quite an active individual.
I was very active, very active. I used to, like I said, near enough after work, I used to go play football every Sunday. I would play football. Which kept a lot of things, kept me fit, kept my weight sort of in check and everything. Used to enjoy going out with my kids, playing in the park with them. I mean, there was only young 9, 10 year olds then.
And you didn't suspect anything would happen?
Wasn't consciously thinking about it. Even though I was probably told that this condition was going to send me blind, but it never sort of registered. What being blind was at the time. It never sort of dawned on me, but I just got on with life.
And when did it become apparent that it was going to be a massive issue of your sight? When did it become so bad that you decided that, look, life is going to be very, very different now?
I think that was at work. I was still working. I was working for an engineering company where I'd been there, you know, nearly 18 years I'd been working there. It was more sort of telling at work when I started to struggle. And that's when it came apparent that, you know, there's more to it now, that I tried to keep my head down and kept on going.
Did your workplace not adapt to your condition and sort of put measures in place to help you?
They didn't make it easy. They promised me everything. And this went over for a period of a couple of years until my sight really got the best of me. And it was affecting my life at home and at work and medically as well, because I didn't realise my blood pressure had gone to about 190.
So there was an adverse effect of your sight, not only on your mental well-being, but your physical well-being elsewhere.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it was only just for a general checkup I went, and they did a blood test, or your blood pressure test, and it was then apparent that obviously the doctors came aware of it. Why is my blood pressure so high? And obviously I told them that, you know, I'm struggling at work, I'm always tense, always worried about tripping over or falling. What my employers were doing for me at the time was, you know, which was sort of next to nothing. And then it came apparent that this was having a massive effect on my life. I had to make a decision then of what to do.
And what did you eventually do? Did you leave your job, or did you just decide to look elsewhere?
I didn't have the option of looking elsewhere because I knew I had a condition. Obviously, you have to declare these things when you go for new employment.
Of course.
My employees more or less showed me the door. It came to that all the promises that they made me didn't materialise.
So did you feel you were forced out rather than you had no choice, I guess?
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's your job, but what about life at home? What was that like after noticing that your sight loss was getting worse?
At home, it wasn't too bad. I knew my own environment. Whilst I was in my little home, I knew my surroundings. To be honest, I was more relaxed at home. My family were pretty good.
But did you not feel that's quite dangerous, just living in the same four walls and thinking, well, you know, I'll just stay at home because it's easier and safer?
Well, it was being safe, but it's also been sort of trapped or caged in a small, you know, that was becoming my world, which wasn't good to a certain degree as well. When the days were nice, sun was out, I just wanted to get out there. Even sitting in the garden was, you know, a good feeling just to get out of the house and sit in the garden in a chair and put a bit of radio on or a bit of music on just to get out of the house.
And I'm guessing because you're a family man, people obviously are going to be out and about in the daytime, be it at work or children going to school, etc. How did you cope with that? Because obviously within those working hours, how did you occupy your time?
Well, people make it sound easy, sitting at home and chilling, you know, that's what they told me, you know, you've done your bit now, you know. I know they meant well, but the reality is sitting at home was becoming a bit boring.
That's mainly because probably you were a working man all your life.
Absolutely.
And active as well, be it sport or social activity.
Yeah.
And that's then, so how did you actually get involved with Beacon then?
I mean, it got a little bit tougher because summer went, winter came along. I couldn't even get out of the house then because it was raining and the days were darker. And then it became apparent that, you know, sitting downstairs, going upstairs, sitting around waiting for the wife to come home from work, you know, it was like an everyday cycle. That
it's quite tedious then.
Yeah, the same old, every day. I was even coming to the stage where I'd just go to the window and stand looking outside and, you know, here comes my wife's car, she'd be pulling up any minute. So I could have a bit of company at home, just as somebody to talk to.
So you'd recognise what car's pulling up in your driveway?
Oh, at that time I did have a little bit of sight. I could notice a silver Peugeot. That's what the car was, a silver car is going to pull up any minute now, you know, 2:30, 2:25, any minute now a car's going to pull up and it's going to be the wife. I've got somebody to talk to, somebody to relate to. One day, apparently, you know, she went shopping and I sat in the window for an hour, waiting. And then it sort of dawned on me that, you know, this is not right. I can't be living a life like this because it's not me.
And what did you do about that then in terms of getting involved with the weekend? How did you sort of get up and think, right, what do I do here?
I don't know. It was an inner voice, I think it was, that just gave me a kick up the back end, sort of saying, you know, Ranjit, you've got to do something with your life. Yeah. I believed in myself. I had a lot to give, but who do I turn to? Who do I go to? And first port of call was Wolverhampton City Council.
And what did they advise you?
To be honest, they were pretty good. And they put me in touch of an organisation called the Beacon Centre for the Blind. Just so happened it was really local to me as well. And made a few calls. They got me involved with a social worker, which sort of supported me on that side of things as well. And we got the paperwork all done. And from there, I was allocated one day a week at the Beacon Centre, which was a Thursday. And that Thursday was, it was like a holiday for me. Once a week, you know, I just couldn't wait till Thursday used to come around just to get out the house, just to go to the Beacon Centre and meet people, talk to people and do things.
So that was then, and obviously now you're more involved with the Beacon Centre than before. And so can you explain to us your role now currently working for Beacon and what that involves?
Going on from there, it's sort of, I noticed at the Beacon Centre, where I was doing a little bit of woodwork here and there and a few craft classes. I noticed there was a few opportunities which came my way or which were available, which I got involved in, which opened doors for me. I always believe in, sometimes you've got to make things happen yourself, and if somebody had opened a small door, slightly opened it, I'll push it open a bit more, and if there's an opportunity, I'll grasp it. And from there, like I said, doors opened. That way I've got involved with the centre just by doing a bit of voluntary work. Had my own little workshop here, got some contracts that gave me work here, which was then 5 days a week, and it all just snowballed from there. Started to get involved with a bit of fundraising, charity events, where it came to the stage where Beacon said, we've got this role, would you be interested? And I didn't say no.
And what did your current role involve then?
My role now is going out in the community. In the BAME community, promoting blind awareness in local churches, temples, using the media as well, radio, TV. I also believe in somebody wants to sit down and have a talk with me, we could do one-to-ones and just give them some motivation and say, living with a sight loss doesn't mean that you just have to sit at home and waste away. You still can achieve. You can still do things.
So you're raising a lot of awareness within the sort of ethnic minorities about issues with sight loss. But why is that important though?
The most important thing is obviously the awareness side is having the main thing is having a condition, but not only that, it's looking after your eyes. That's the most important thing, is looking after your eyes. That goes to everybody.
So is there a lack of, I suppose, awareness within certain minorities about taking action on your eyes?
I mean, checking your eyes is one thing, that is having a condition is another thing, in some of the BAME communities, in taking it from the Asian background, there's sometimes even a stigma's attached. People might think, I'm from an Asian background now, and I know from the Asian background is sometimes having a disability definitely has its stigmas, and people don't tend to talk about it. Could even be saying having a disability, could be even embarrassed about it,
So it's sort of a certain style of stigma which is less sort of sweep it under the carpet and not talk about it essentially.
Absolutely, and we need to change people's mentalities and get them away from that, and shouldn't be embarrassed that, shouldn't be embarrassed about having a condition.
Something needs to be done about it more
Well,
than
this is
talk
it, and I
about it.
don't mind using myself to promote and say, look, I'm living with this condition. I'm getting on with life. There's more to having this condition, and it's not what you can't do, it's still what you can do and what you still can achieve. And Beacon have given me a massive opportunity to do this role, and I fully enjoy it.
Thank you for that, Ranjit. That's very fascinating. And thank you for your time.
No, you're quite welcome.